Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word and the application of your word. The entrance of your word gives life. May your word enter our hearts, enter our minds, and enliven our spirit. God, we need you. We have no qualms about it. Our life's a mess, God, and unless you show up each and every day, it just gets worse, messier and more confused. God, please baptize us in your spirit today. Show us the things that we ought to know and the things that we ought to do. God, convict us. Holy Spirit, you have full access to our hearts to convict us of any little thing you want to change. Lord, we're here to change. Forgive us for the times that we say we don't want to, because that's why we came here. Bless our lives. May your word completely saturate us today. We ask it in your name, Lord and King Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 First three chapters of Ephesians, as you guys know, if you've been here the last few weeks, we're heavy in doctrine, understanding the learning. Here he kind of departs from the doctrine and more gives the encouragement on how the believer is to live. I will read to you chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, if you've been with us, the book of Ephesians was written in a Roman prison, from a Roman prison. It was a letter sent to the church in a city called Ephesus. Thus, the name is Ephesians. That's what that fancy name is. It's not a, doesn't mean anything specifically. It's just the people of Ephesus were called Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Before we read verse 4, please, the Apostle Paul, he was trying to come up with a theme. How do you tell somebody you want them to know something without sounding like a jerk? Paul really didn't have that struggle as much as I do because there was no email back then. And now every time you're a jerk in a church, every time you send an email, I'm leaving your church, you said this from the pulpit, goodbye. And I'm going to tell Pastor Bob. That's what they do. What, did you do it next? He says, I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. First, walking worthy is knowing what calling you were called with. This whole chapter is based upon one subject matter. And this subject matter today is this. Who are you in Christ? Basically, you have two kinds of people in the church. Ones that are meant to lead and to help, and others that are just kind of furniture. And at some point in time, the Apostle Paul here says, you got to know what you're called to do. Are you called to be furniture? Are you called to just show up? Are you called to come here and say, gimme, 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 gimme. My life's a mess. My finances a mess. My sexuality's a mess. My whatever it is, gimme, 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 gimme. Or is there any point in time where you get to the point where you say, you know what? I'm called to something different. It took me more than 12 years to figure out I was called to something different. I was really satisfied just being furniture in church. And yet my brother Jerry, who we just talked about, he knew. When did you know, Jerry? Did you know the day you got saved?
Probably a year later.
That he was called for something else. Watch. Watch where he goes from here, and it's very interesting. And please, I'm not trying to come down on anybody here. This is not a, oh my goodness, Ryan's going to beat us up now because we don't do. That is not that. This is strictly a choice you have to make, where he sets the cards before you, and he says, choose the one you want. Choose the one you want. And I love the description he uses for walking worthy. You ready how to walk worthy? Go back to verse 2. You see what he says? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. You guys have heard me say this before, and it's a very interesting thing. As a young man, my biggest problem was trying to figure out how I was going to find a friend because nobody really lived up to my standard. My standard, my idea of having a friend, my idea of being family was loyalty. It was treating me better than I treat you. No matter what I give you, you take it and give me back better. Work. Nobody ever had a problem with the way I worked. They had a problem with the way I treated people. I was one of those people that was very sensitively insensitive. Anybody here sound familiar? When it comes to your own feelings, you what we used to call a pearl clutcher. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that to me. But when it comes to other people's feelings, you got, I'm gonna straighten you out. Let me keep this real. I can see what's wrong with you, and I'm gonna tell you. My brother was, God rest his soul. He would tell everybody how to live. Everybody, it didn't matter if he knew you or not. He's gonna tell you how to live. Anybody? Sound familiar? And the older I get, and the more I, ready? Here's the theme of the Bible study. Grow in the Lord. The more people I like. And the more people I accept. And the more I let the theme of my... You have these preconceived notions. Where I grew up, you put people in categories. Like for me, growing up being Italian Jewish, we had banes of our existence. The bane of our existence was the Irish. Oh, couldn't stand Irish people. But yet God brought me my best friend, Patty Kavanaugh. Now, if you know anything about last names, Cavanagh is a very Irish name. And I used to say, God, why? 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 You know how I feel about Irish people. Why you got to bring me a friend named Kavanaugh? This Irish, this Mick. And every time me and him would get into a fight, I'd say, my father said, you don't trust the Irish, you Mick. And everybody had to fit into this category. Oh, I know about black people. Black people do this. I know about Irish people. Irish people do this. And that's how you set everybody in your... My neighbor had a lot of Puerto Ricans. In my school, it was like Cubans are here. That's how New York was with Puerto Ricans. It's just so many Puerto Ricans. And oh, you know, I know about Puerto Ricans. What'd you say? You see what I mean? And here... I want you with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what the Lord Jesus said about this? If you love only those who love you, what credit is it to you? Don't even the heathen do the same? You want to try something interesting? Find somebody who can't stand you at work. You know that you feel that vibe, you smell it. Try this. Try to love them. I don't like that dude. No, I don't like that girl. No. We don't. No, one time I was in a, you know what? I was bussing this table one time, and she came along and put her dishes at the table. No. Try something different. Try loving those who hate you and transform their lives. You follow me? The Apostle Paul's serious here. He gets a little crazy, and you're going to see where it goes at the end. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let me paraphrase it. Now, we can break that down. We can spend about 3 weeks breaking that down because obviously we know there's more than one baptism, but what does he mean by that? Listen, let me break this down for you. Hit the mark. Hit the mark. If you think you were called by God and you have achieved all that God has for you to achieve, let me let you on a little secret. After 25 plus years now of walking with the Lord, you know what my prayer was this morning when I got up at sunrise? God, I want to grow. God, I want to grow. I hate where I am. Please help me grow up in you. Now, for some of you guys, it's like, well, of course. But some of you guys, this is like life-changing information. You don't jump across some line and all of a sudden you're saved and you grow. Even after all these years, even being a senior pastor for the last 15 years of this church, are you kidding me? I want to grow. I want more than what I've been. I want to become more than I am. I want to do more than I'm doing. I want to know God more than I know him. I want to be so sure of heaven, I want to reach out and touch it. I want to stop worrying about people's personality and their attitude. I want to see one thing when I look at them. Is that person going to heaven or hell? If they're going to heaven, okay. If they're going to hell, how can I get them into heaven? I look at my family. You guys have been talking about that the last few weeks. This blood family I got. You know, all my immediate family, they're all dead. But I've got this extended cousins. And they hate me. And they're absolutely sure that they hate me because I'm a Christian and I look down on them. I've never looked down on any of them. But you know your family is absolutely sure that you look down on them because you're a Christian and they're not. And like, even though you never have, you might have asked to pray at a family gathering. Anybody? And they hate you for it. And the excuse they give you is that you hate them. Like, I never hated you. What are you talking about? You didn't invite us to, like, the Panther gamers. What are you talking about? It's an open invitation. Come by any time. You want me to send up a car? What do you want? Am I alone in this, or am I just venting my own personal stuff? Am I alone in this, or am I only venting my personal? Okay, I'm not. Okay. Growth. Every once in a while, this is a funny thing. We've got people in the jiu-jitsu world. We got this one guy, you guys will never meet him, so I could use his real name. His name's Charlie. We call Charlie Crazy Charlie. Kevin, you remember Crazy Charlie? Yeah, you remember if I start describing. This guy, all he does is go all over the world doing jiu-jitsu tournaments. That's all he does. He's a single guy, he's my age. All Charlie does is he goes to Brasileira, he goes all over the world. He did the European Open. Let me tell you how many tournaments this guy has won. This many. He goes, he joins the Open, which is any size, any age, and all you get is killers in that. There's killers. I mean, the greatest names. If I give you the names, like some of you guys won't know this name, Gordon Ryan, Keenan Cornelius, Felipe Pena. I mean, some of the greatest jiu-jitsu players right now. He's fought them all. Never won a stinking match. Not one. Now, some of you guys say, well, at least he's trying, right? No, I got a better idea. Why don't you stay home and actually try to get better? Why don't you train a little bit? Why don't you give it a shot? And that is sadly the commentary on some of our Christian lives. Well, we're Christians, but where's our victories? I said this a couple weeks ago. How many guys have been walking with the Lord 5 years or more and have never led anybody to Christ? Like, not one person? Okay, let me lower the bar a little bit. How many guys have never prayed for somebody? Let me lower the bar. I mean, did anybody pray for somebody in the last 2 weeks? How do you go a whole day without praying? And yet, this is what we do. We just lose, and it becomes our thing. We should lose. Did you read the Bible this morning? I read, no. Well, how are you going to grow? Well, you see, this is why I don't like going to church or small churches like this. You're getting in our business. You know, you're coming down on me. I'm not coming down on you. I told you. My biggest desire is to grow in the Lord, but at least I'm going to look at the landscape that's before my eyes and say, how do I change it? If I need comfort, if I need strength, if I need healing, if I need hope, what am I going to do? I gotta get in the Word every day. I gotta spend time in prayer. If I want heaven to be that close to me, if I want to feel the presence of a living and loving God, if I want the Holy Spirit to lead my steps, you show up to the afterglow tonight, or you show up to the prayer meeting on Wednesday, you're gonna be like, dude, how did you know? Somebody's gonna pray, a sister's gonna pray, a brother, how did you know? Like, we don't know. Well, how did you? But you prayed, like, listen, that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here's what they say: man, I want to do that too. I want to be able to do that too. It's no problem. Listen, first things first, there's 800,000 words right here. You get them in you, and then God might give you a few more. Oh, I got to read the whole Bible first? Well, that's a great start. Yeah. I just want to travel around and do a lot of tournaments and say that I entered a lot of battles. One time I almost took down, you know, jiu-jitsu guys know what I'm talking about. Wrestlers know what I'm talking about. No, we are not in here to compete. We are here to win, lose, and fight. Right or wrong? Continuing. The one hope of our calling, remember, is that. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He's quoting from Psalm 68 there. It's a prophecy about the coming Messiah. Now, verse 9, this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, please give me your attention. Let me break down a little bit of weird doctrine. Some people believe that when Christ died, he descended and opened the gates of hell and let the prisoners out, and there's biblical understanding for that. This, though, is not a confirmation of that, which I totally get, and that's a discussion we could have another day when we cover that. The prophecy is the Savior ascended to heaven and descended to earth. Properly read, this should say, now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he first descended into the lower parts, the earth. You can take out the of there. That's not there in the original. So he came down to earth and gave us everything we need to live. That's the more direct language. Let's not camp too long there because we could get really confused in the language there. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be. Now here's what I was talking about, what Paul was saying about who you are and what are you going to be. Are you going to be furniture? Are you going to be a leader? He decided that some should be apostles. What's an apostle? Do apostles exist today? No, they don't, but the gift of apostle lives on today. The apostles were the apostles, but the gift of apostles, the same gift that he gave the apostles, is to go from town to town, from city to city, from state to state, from country to country, starting churches, appointing leaders, raising up pastors. That is the gift of an apostle. Some of the greatest apostles that we know of, obviously, is a guy like Chuck Smith. Jeff Buck is definitely the gift. You guys that might remember Jeff from Calvary Fort Lauderdale. Up in upstate New York. Oh, dude. Gallatin. Bill Gallatin. We had Bill Gallatin here some years ago, and I asked him in the 30 years that he was preaching, I said, how many churches came off from your church? He said, we just planted our 65th. Man, we're doing this 15 years. I think we have 4. I'm like, what did I miss out? And he said to me, Ryan, you didn't miss nothing. He said, you don't have the gift of an apostle. That's okay. Some he gave gift of apostles, prophets, evangelists, Pastors and teachers. I love how my gift, that last one, that a teacher is the last on the list. I love that. Because when you think you're a pastor and a teacher and you sit up here and you're like, yeah, let me explain to you guys. Yeah, just keep talking, Ryan. Ken Graves is great. When he comes into town and he has like 20 speaking engagements, and like one day he'll hit like seven churches and he'll say, bro, don't you get tired? And he'll look at me and go, of talking? No, talking is easy. You know what's difficult? Dealing with the people after I've talked to them. I get to leave. I drop bombs and I go. And now I understand what he meant. And you know why? And this is very interesting. Some pastors, some teachers like myself have taken verse 12 literally, as well we should. And this is what's important. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen to me. A pastor teacher does one of two things. He preaches or he teaches. We at Calvary Chapel are supposed to be teachers, not preachers. A preacher proclaims evangelical messages so that many people come to know the Lord. My old pastor went from being a teacher and somewhere in the early 2000s switched over. And I understand that completely, because what had happened was you see all these people get saved and you start to see stars in your eyes and you start to think you have some gift or something. I'm an evangelist. Listen to me. A true pastor is not supposed to worry about how many people are saved or not saved. He's also supposed to make sure that the people that are saved are growing. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give you guys big old plates of broccoli rabe. Broccoli, better? I'm Italian, I told you that. And sometimes, like the last few weeks, it's, you know, yawn factor is like an average of about 12 to 15 a half hour from each one of you guys. And I'm watching it. Watch, I can make it happen now. I got it. Yeah, I got it. My job as a pastor teacher is to get you guys out there serving Christ. And if I see furniture in this place, I'm going to polish it. I'm not going to yell at it. I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to sit on it. I'm going to polish it, though. Hey, guys, that's our job. So when some of you guys get, why does he always say we should go out to convalescent homes? Why should we say we should feed the hungry? Why should we go out? Because that's my job. He's given some evangelists and teachers and pastors and apostles. Why? For the edification, for the growth of the body, so that you guys can do the work of the ministry. Continuing, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Please, let me explain to you what happens. You get this intoxicating thing. Dude, you're such a great preacher. Oh my goodness, man, you just... And people say that to you enough, you start to believe it. You start to think it's the truth. It's never been the messenger. It's always been the message. It's easy. What I do is easy. I come up here and I read the Bible. Please remember, our job is to receive the word and to grow thereby. You cannot receive the word sitting at home. You must gather amongst the brothers and the sisters. So many people stop going to church. And here is exactly what the Apostle Paul says. The cunning craftiness of people who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's a doctrine going around, at least, I don't know if it's still real big. I'm not out there as much as I used to be. But it was called complete sanctification. They believe that you stop sinning because you are completely sanctified. What's the name of that church, anybody? Jerry, remember the name of them people? Is it the Church of Nazarenes? They called it complete sanctification. So here's what they believe. You don't sin anymore. They believe that you're no longer a sinner. They believe that no matter what you do, it's okay, you're forgiven before you do it. And then there's some other doctrines that used to be real big that have started whole church movements. They believe that if you're going to heaven, there's nothing you can do to have your name blotted out. Some people call it Calvinism. There's these isms. And here the apostle is saying, do me a favor, please. Stop being tossed to and fro. Because some churches believe that today you might be saved, but tomorrow you're not. And unless you serve God, and if I give you guys a stack of envelopes to go home with, please make sure that there's one in the box every week. Otherwise, I'm going to tell God, and who knows if you're going to go to heaven or not. He says, don't be tossed to and fro, because all this is cunning craftiness. You go to a church, and I have no problem, believe me, and I don't mean to sound elitist, but if you go to a church and they ask you to take a class to fill out paper forms so that you could become a quote-unquote member of the church, somebody want to tell me where that came from? I don't understand. I just don't see that in here. Make sure all of your people are members. Well, the word member does exist in the Bible. Yeah, the word member does, but nothing about filling out a form. You understand what I'm saying? He says, I want you to be careful about this here. There is cunning craftiness, and it's designed to twist you up, to make you do something that is not in your heart. Well, here's the thing, Ryan, though. You're kind of saying these things and kind of getting me to try to do certain things. If your heart is not to grow in the Lord, that's between you and God. If you're sitting here wondering why you don't have experienced the fullness of the blessing, let me tell you something. Me and my wife started going to church. Me and my wife were together 7 years before we got married. My wife was pregnant with our third child when we got married. And we sat in church and couldn't figure out why cannot we put this thing together? Why are we always fighting? Why am I always, every time we get an argument, I'm out, I'm done, boom, go, bye. Why? Good brother, who wasn't afraid of me, I said, dude, you're living with your girlfriend. You want God to bless that relationship? God can't bless a mess. Yeah, but what happens is, you know, every time I say to myself, okay, I'm going to get married, and then she says something or does it, she disrespects me, man. And he said, don't you hear yourself, bro? Every time you make a decision to do the right thing, something comes against you. Yeah, but I didn't believe in that supernatural. That's just weird. You're the devil's going to get me. Yeah. I'd like to see him try. No, you wouldn't. Matter of fact, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. And the only shot you got is that God's praying for you. Here, the Apostle Paul says, I'll read it to you again, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'll briefly go through that. We've gone through that before when we were going through 1 Corinthians. Listen, everybody has their different gift. And it's crazy how even in the framework of a little church like this, we have 50, 60 people in here, and yet how is it we got a guy that can play guitar? How is it we got a guy that can run sound? How has it got people over there taking care of our kids? How does that happen? He said, when everybody grows up, God sees the people in the church and he goes, okay, I have gifts that I want to give. What does this church need? This church needs an administrator. Yeah, but nobody going to the church has the gift of administration. They do now. Yeah, but here's this little tiny church. We don't have anybody who can play guitar. you do now. God gives gifts to edify all. If you're here today and you think you have no gifts, you're dead wrong. He's given gifts to everybody. And every single person is in here. If you make this church your life, and I'm not saying, listen, make this church your life, although I am saying make this church your life. I'm not saying it to like, if you don't, you're going to hell. Go to any church you want to go. If they're teaching the word of God, go. But if you want to make this church your life, I've said this before. I'm talking a lot about myself tonight because I want you guys to see, I want you guys to see something. Me and my wife are talking. I guess I was having a moment of feeling sorry for myself. And I said, baby, it ain't right that these people should hate us. I never did nothing wrong to them. But I'm thinking, maybe I did. Maybe I wasn't being an effective witness to them. I don't know, babe. And she said to me, honey, before your mother died, she came to know the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Before your father died, he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Before your brother died, he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Before your grandfather died, he became a Christian at 99 years old. He came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior because you were faithful. If these people hate you, to hell with them. She didn't say that. I added that last part. I had to just, it lifted up the level. I added that part. Yeah. Who cares about them? No, I got what she was saying. It's like, right, what am I doing? If I get to heaven and the Lord says to me, you led 6 people to the Lord, you think he's going to rebuke me for that? No, he's going to say, come on, well done. You lived for something. You did something for somebody beside yourself, which is the totally opposite of where I lived my whole first part of my life. Do you guys know why I couldn't get along with anybody growing up? Because I was too busy, as they say in the street, trying to get mine. Does anybody remember not having money? Money. Man, I found about 3 weeks ago, we found a Wells Fargo credit card out in front of the church. Hey, somebody gave it to me. Hey, we found this outside the church. I took it. I was like, man, a Wells Fargo church. There was still a part of my heart that's like, I wonder how much money's on it. But you know what I did? I gave it to somebody else. I said, hey, call the bank, find out whose this is. How does that happen? Growth. When you changed. He said, man, I was all about getting a do-re-mi. It was all about it. If something fell off the bat, one time I was driving and a UPS truck literally hit a bump, a giant box fell out. This is a true story. I was like, are you kidding me? Thank you, God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But when you grow up, I'll never forget that. I was in a prayer meeting at Fort Lauderdale. We were in that little room. They called it the chapel. And there's this song by Winds of Worship. I think it's by Vineyard. It's called I Am Changed. And there's like a part in the song, the bridge in the song, where the guy just sings, I am changed, I am changed, I am changed. And I remember worshiping to that song. It was a CD. And I was having my hands there, and I'd say, I said, holy crap, I am changed. I am growing. And it filled me with a hope. It's like, I still got more to go. Hallelujah, God is doing, he who begun the work is going to complete it. You're not stuck where you are. You don't have to find a credit card and bang it out, man. God will give you all your needs according to his riches and glory. Well, he ain't giving me enough of my needs. Well, he knows what you need. I want more. Well, wait on God. He'll bring it to you. I can't believe the mindset. I meet old friends. A friend of mine came to my store some years ago. And he's like, oh my goodness, hadn't seen him in 10 or 12 years at the time. I was in Florida. I'm actually in Florida now, long as I was in New York. And when they left, they went to the car, and his wife came back out into the store, made believe she forgot something, and she walked in, I'll never forget, she touched my arm, she put her hand on my arm, and she says, Ryan, don't come back to the neighborhood. There's nothing there for you anymore. Keep the peace that you have. Don't lose it. Don't come back. And in my head, I was like, I ain't coming back. But the desperation in her eyes, the heart that she had, the understanding, like, it really shook me. Don't come back. She was like in this pit, thinking she's never going to get out. Her and her husband were deep in this pit. And she was saying, I see peace in you. Don't come back to the neighborhood. Don't come back. There's nothing there for you. I hope saying that is moving on some of your hearts. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk, here's what I was talking about, as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's exactly what I was talking about. You know, listen, ladies, I'm sorry that if this opens up a door in your brain, I'm not trying to. But brothers, have you ever had a girl hit on you and you said no? Have you ever had a girl like get up in your business? And you're like, sorry, I'm married. Like, I had no idea what that meant up till the time I got saved. It's like, you cheated on your girlfriend. Like, well, of course I cheated on my girlfriend. That's what we do. There was no not cheating. She asked for it, she got it. What are you gonna blame me? Now, again, some of you ladies, you might think you're just a disgusting pig. But some of you brothers, you can change. It don't have to be like that. I've got more than 25 years of faithfulness to my wife. Now, some of you guys like, big deal. Like, for me, it is a big deal. My father never had that. My grandfather never had that. My great-grandfather never had that. It's not part of our culture. In our culture, we have what's called dampanada. You can change. And here's what the Apostle Paul's talking about. Listen, greediness, lust, that's the Gentiles. They don't even feel any different. It's time to come out of that. It's time to grow up. You can't take that into the church. But then I wound up regretting, you know, but man, you know, that I should have took and I should have gotten it. Listen, forget about all that regret. It's the craziest thing. You look back at your life after 50 years and you don't regret any of the women you slept with. You only regret the ones you don't sleep with. Oh man, I could have. Let it go, brothers. Let it go. I don't even want to think that you sisters think the same way, because then I have to go home and kill my wife. So let's not talk any more about that. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you, ready? Memory verse. Hey, any of the old time Fort Lauderdale people, remember Tender Warriors class? Remember Jerry Tender Warriors? Dino, you remember Tender Warriors? And the old 2800, we had a guy, Pastor Generino DeStefano, taught a class called Tender Warriors. This was one of our Bible verses. This was one of the first Bible verses I ever, somebody said, memorize this. He gave us an index card with his Bible verses, memorize this. Like, memorize, what do you mean memorize Bible verse? What does that mean? I got to read it and I got to memorize it? Are you crazy? Yeah, this is the whole idea, that you get the word in you and it gets the world out of you. Think about W-O-R-L-D. Take out L, And now it's the Word. I won't do that in the second service. Verse 22, here's your memory verse that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You've heard me say this. We're going to bring it to a close soon. I know I'm going a little bit longer than usual. Who you really are, the world is going to tell you, is who you are out there. When you get upset, when you get mad, when you get frustrated, and then your friends and your family, that's the real you. There he is. I've been waiting to see that guy. There he is. And then you're like, oh, conviction comes in. But let me tell you what the real deal is, according to what we just read. You know what the real you is? It's who you are when you're here. When the Spirit fills you up, and you got that Spirit on you, you got that little bit of Holy Spirit smile. This is the real you. Not that. Don't let the world lie to you and tell you that's the real you. That's not the real you. This is the real you. This is who you were created to be. The person you are when you're here, when you chill. When you're filled with the Spirit and you're like, yeah. And you're thinking about other things and you're like wanting to receive the Word of God. Tell me more. I know. Keep going. This is the real you. Not out there when you get aggravated and you're trying. Oh, yeah. Well, you guys, I told that story about getting to argument with a guy in the truck. And I'm like, I'm just about to get in a street fight. I'm 55 years old. I'm a pastor. And I'm about to get in a street fight now. Hey, I'm sorry. My bad. I went away. Oh, my goodness. Anybody else? I'm the only one that happens to, right? Of course it is. You got into a street fight a lot? Therefore, verse 25, put away lying. That's toughy. Lying is just so easy, and it gets me out of so many problems. Can't I just tell little white lies? But what if I tell the truth and it hurts somebody's feelings, and I can lie and it won't hurt their feelings? Put away lying. Enough. The devil's the liar and the father of lies. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, the Lord Jesus said. My wife's mad at me. Why is your wife mad at you? My ex-girlfriend came to the store, and I saw her, and I didn't tell her, and then she found out later on. And well, why didn't you tell her? Because then she gets all mad at me. So why did you tell her? I felt terrible about not telling her. Well, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, but here's the thing. If I tell her, she's going to get mad at me for like 3 days. If I don't tell her and she finds out, she's going to get mad at me for a really long time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Am I? Okay, so. So why does the Apostle Paul say that? Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. You mean I can get angry and not sin? Yeah. You know, me and my wife, we have at least 3 or 4 good fights a day. No, a week. Yeah, a week. But we don't cuss each other out. We get angry, but we don't sin in our anger. Well, sometimes we do. But we don't cuss each other. It's just, that was one of the rules we set forth about fighting when we got saved. Okay, we actually, here's the thing, guys. Some of you guys, this would be great for, I know it. Me and my wife, when we got saved, we decided to stay together. We actually took a piece of paper and wrote rules for fighting and put it on the refrigerator. Because that's the place my face was most. Number one, let's not talk about divorce. It's not going to happen. Number two, let's not talk about separation. You promised to stop walking out. Number three, no calling me the B word. No calling me this word. No more cussing at each other. And little by little, listen, we didn't get it every time, but Little by little. Now all of a sudden, here we are, 20 years and more than 20 years in our walk with the Lord, and our fights, hey, look, I wish they'd stop, but we care about each other. They ain't what they were, though. You can do this. I wish I could sit here and tell you guys, I want to make believe and tell you, listen, guys, get saved. Get serious about the things of the Lord. You never fight. Me and my wife, are you kidding me? Unity? Like this. Never. Sex all the time. No problem. The Apostle Paul just said, put away lying. So I can't tell you that. Any of that. Dean, why are you sitting back there giggling for, huh? Let me put you on the spot a second, huh? That's next week. Husbands, love your wives. Never mind. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Some people take that to believe. Listen, solve the problem before it becomes the night. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. That's the part of the thing I was talking about. The hardest part of his life. If I wanted something back in the day, I just took it. Now I got to work for it. It takes a lot longer. But God is faithful. Working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Look at verse 29, another incredible memory verse. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Listen, I can go through each one of those last three verses over and over again. Here's what I'm going to suggest you do. Just read it to yourselves over and over. Keep reading it. It can be done. Sometimes the Bible seems like it shoots so far over your head, it's like not going to happen. But I'm telling you, he's going to do this good work. It's going to happen. Close your Bible. If the testimony of your life is the same as mine, it's a series of you disliking people, people disliking you. If that is it, if that's the testimony of your life, well, you know why I own my own business? Because I can't work with nobody else. Job to job to job to job, because I can't take instruction. I am what they call, if you're saying this to yourself, a yeah but guy. Yeah but. Hey, you know what you should do? Yeah but. Or an I know person. Hey, this is how this goes. I know. If you're a yeah but person or an I know person, God can change that. And I know that you feel as though you're stuck there, but you're not. Put away that stuff. Read over and over and over again those verses. Memorize them. That's how you grow into these things. And God will change your life. And I hope he continues to change mine, because that's all I want. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the transforming love of your word. Thank you for the movement of your spirit. Thank you for testimony, God, that I hope just encourages others who need change to change as well. Thank you, God, for our brother Jerry, and bless his family, please, with hope. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all the things that you've done for us. We surrender our hearts to you to do even more. And God, we just want to say a quick prayer for those people over in the children's ministry. Thank you, God, that they're taking care of our babies. Bless them. Please, God, even though they couldn't get to church today, bless them twofold for taking care of our babies. All this, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Good night, guys.